Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to You Thought You Knew, the podcast where we talk about Survivor players that may be underrated, underappreciated, or misunderstood. Each episode, we'll try to answer a question that's designed to make us challenge our preconceived notions about famous Survivor contestants. Of course, there are no right answers. It's just an excuse to talk about our favorite show. I'm your co-host, Nigel Bocanegra, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kevin McClain.
Yes, very excited to do this episode and with one of my favorite guests from our first season of You Thought You Knew.
We are very lucky today to be joined by Gia Worthy. Gia, how are you?
Hi, you too. I am so excited to be back. I had a great time talking about Dreams Heard last season. You knew that that was one of my favorite players. And I think like that is more obviously one of my favorite players, Dreams that is. And today's like, I think we're talking about another player that I personally have grown to be quite fond of, especially on rewatches over the years. So I'm very excited to talk about a player that I think could always use a little more praise, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about Candace Cody today, who is just like, you know, like I feel like a lot of people have a lot of opinions about her, despite being kind of a more mild mannered person. It's a very interesting, and I'm very excited to talk about it because, you know, in my research, you had to dig down and think about, like, what do people think about Candace? And I just found some really interesting stuff, and I just am really excited to do this.
Yeah, Candace feels like such an enigma to me because she's on Heroes versus Villains, essentially the season of Survivor that people for years have said is the best season of the entire show. And she feels like the quietest or just one of like the smallest figures out of Heroes versus Villains, even though she's a three-time player. She's been on Survivor a lot. We've seen her husband on Survivor. So she feels big in stature. She feels small at the same time to me. It's she's a very interesting person that I'm looking forward to discussing today.
Yeah, and I think this is a chance for us to kind of convert people to becoming Candace fans. I've always talked about this podcast as being a character appreciation in podcasts. Like, if this was a wine, it's like, how do you appreciate Candace Cody for what she brings as a character and as a figure in those seasons that she participates in? And there's just a lot to go with.
So, Kev, do you want to kick us off by doing your introduction of Candace Cody?
Yes. When Candace Cody was cast on the Heroes Tribe in Survivor's 20th season, many fans presumed it had to be a production mistake. After all, Candace was the clear antagonist to the heroic I24 in her debut season. In preseason promotions for Heroes vs. Villains, host Jeff Probst even tried to spin Candace's mutiny as actually noble, since she was just mutinying to rejoin her original allies, Parvati and Adam. Sure, Candace never really seemed to fit into that hero label, but that was only exasperated when she flipped to the villain's tribe right after the merge. But in her Survivor career, Candace has had moments that do feel particularly heroic. From fighting hard on Redemption Island, to keeping a smile on her face during her continuous journeys to Exile Island, or her own underdog arc on the Flailing Heroes tribe, Candace Cody definitely has layers. You thought you knew Candace Cody? Well, we think we do. And on this episode of You Thought You Knew, we'll be answering the question, is Candace Cody actually a hero?
So Gia, do you recall what your thoughts were on Candace Cody going into Heroes versus Villains before we really knew how that season was going to play out?
Oh, God. So Candace is somebody, you know, when they first announced the cast of Heroes versus Villains, I knew the majority of the players, but the players that had played in the earlier seasons, I had not quite caught up there. It's crazy to think about a time where I did not know who Sandra Diaz Twine was, because I just had not seen Pearl Islands at that point. So I had very little knowledge about that season as a whole. And then, but Candace, there are a couple players I had to look up, remind myself what season they played, how far they made it, a couple handful of things there. And Candace, I needed no research on my end. I remembered her from, what was it? She competed first on Cook Islands, would be season 13, I believe. So seven seasons prior. I did not need a reminder of who Candace Cody was, because between just being a figurehead of the opposing alliance to the I24 and Cook Islands, and of course being famous for her mutiny, not the first time Survivor has ever offered a mutiny, but the first time that people have taken Jeff up on his offer to mutiny to the other tribe. And that was something that always stuck with me. But I think that realistically, we'll call it a showmance from that season, really made me not shine up to her as much, just as me when I was younger. Even now, I'm not a huge showmance person when I'm watching Survivor. That's just not why I watch the show or anything like that. So that's just not what I am looking for content in a show. But with her, going into it, I was just this makes sense for a choice. But I was also a little confused about their choice to put her on the Heroes tribe, and also was wondering, why they put her here. What is her role amongst these players? We're going into a season, I would say characters like Amanda, James, Suri from Micronesia, China, those were the players that I was I remember them. I'm so excited to see them play again. Where does Candace fit into this? And now, having watched both seasons multiple times and being much older now than when these seasons originally aired, I have to say that I did not give Candace Cody enough credit in her early seasons of the show. I think that she was a player that was definitely out of her element in the Heroes tribe. And I mean that in the best way possible. I think that it really limited the possibilities for her here. I can feel my frustration for her as I say that. And then going into Cook Islands, probably the mutiny is one of the things she's most famous for, I would say, in the Survivor canon. That I'm up in the air about the mutiny itself, whether that was a move that she should have taken. I think she gets a bad rap for something that at the end of the day is not, like, we've seen people do much worse on this show than swap over to another tribe. So I just think that it was those teen seasons were really like wavering between old school mentality and new school mentality. And I think seeing Candace play on a newer school season is kind of the thing that we were really missing out on. I think she is like a new school player that started on an older school season.
You know, Gia, I really like what you said about Candace being out of her element on the Heroes tribe, because I think that gives the tribe a bit more interesting dynamics. You know, becoming a fan of Survivor in the late 20s, I think that I was like really coming into the show at a time that the fans were getting a little sick of the twists. You know, we have the white collar, blue collar, no collar season. We have HHH, the obvious Heroes versus Hustlers. Yes. Versus, who am I missing? Heroes, Hustlers.
Healers.
And Healers.
Yes. Which Candace Cody trio would have been one, by the way, in my opinion.
And so I think Heroes versus Villains is maybe one of the best twists in casting that the show has done, because I think it really gave the entire cast an identity. And, you know, you see people like Rupert, who no matter what season he's on, are going to dive into whatever the theme is. And Rupert, yes, leans heavily into being a hero there. You know, we often, when we ponder these questions on You Thought You Knew, try to understand, you know, well, what is a hero? I think it's pretty clear in the grand scheme of Survivor what a hero is. But Kevin, do you think that there's anything that we should try to pull apart in even trying to understand?
Well, I think the first thing is there's the storyline concept here. Who are the heroes and the villains of those seasons, right? So like Rupert was the hero in Pearl Islands. It makes sense for him to be on the hero tribe. Jerry's, drowning in a shelter, be damned. Rupert's the hero because he's the hero in the editing room, and that matters. Alternatively, I think there's a perspective where it's about kind of characterization, aesthetic, if you will. And they kind of use this to describe Sandra in a sense, where Sandra really is in the more heroic lens of Pearl Islands. But like they put her on the villains tribe and Jeff kind of spins it as, well, she, you know, would sell her mother down the river, you know, to get one step further. Anybody but me, and use that as a way to frame her as villainous. So I think you can really think of the heroes as two levels here. Either you're the hero of your season, quite often a positive, hard worker person who was a protagonist, maybe, or you just have the aesthetic, which is then maybe like you have a really strong sense of morality, conviction. You're willing to kind of be noble, maybe fall for certain things. You're not always trying to like scheme ahead an extra step because like you believe in certain values. I feel like that's what I remember hearing in the press for Heroes versus Villains, even. But Gia, what do you think?
I agree. I think that especially in a game like Survivor, where getting far in the game usually means you have to either pull off some form of deception yourself or be an accessory to somebody else's deception in order to make it that far. I think a lot of times Survivor, you can make the argument that heroes are villains with good publicity, especially, yes, with, you know, we could talk forever about the unbalanced editing that often happens on seasons like Heroes versus Villains. And one thing that really stuck with me, not necessarily from Heroes versus Villains, but with another theme season, Brains, Bronze, and Beauty, they asked, I want to say it's Jeff, but it could have been Mark Burnett, that they asked why, like, how do you decide who was on Heroes or who was on Brains or Brawn or Beauty? How do you tell them, like, how do you explain to them that they are on like this tribe or anything like that? And their answer was something to the effect of, well, you tell them what they're on and they are good with it either way. Like, like you're telling someone they're smart, they're beautiful, they're strong. Like, okay, like there's probably not going to be too much pushback on that. I would personally wonder what I was ever doing on a Braun try. But other than that, like, you're not going to hear much pushback for me if you put me on beauty. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, about Survivor, where if you put someone on a Heroes tribe, there's probably an argument for it somewhere to put someone on the Heroes tribe. And same thing for a villain, because really what makes a Survivor villain? Lying, backstabbing, blindsiding people. Most people do that at some point. I think the big draw with a season like this is that you're a character. You're a big character. You have some type of memorable moment here. Like Suri, if we're looking at the Heroes tribe as a whole, Tom Westman, James Clement, Amanda Kimmel, Candace Cody, Rupert, like these are all huge characters. They've had at least one big moment in there. They've been fan favorites. They've been the clear winners of their seasons. And I think Candace does fall into the idea that she is certainly a big character. She is very memorable part of Cook Islands. Whether you want to see her decisions as a noble move or something that had a little more deception to it, I think is up to the to the viewer's interpretation, I should say. And that's not a bad thing. But like when I view it, I think of Candace as a player that I really appreciate. But I think I have a tendency to really enjoy villains more often than I do the players that we would assume would be in the Heroes tribe. Not counting Suri, of course. Suri is Suri. She is a hero.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think a lot of people believe that, you know, there's a lot of, I don't think there's confusion about Candace being cast on Heroes versus Villains. It's the fact that she was cast as a hero that people kind of take a little bit more ire, you know, an issue with. But like, I remember, and Gia, maybe you remember this too, when Micronesia came around, Candace's name was being floated around a lot. And I think that made a lot of sense. She was one of the central characters in that era of the show in Cook Islands. And then she declines. And so Parvati ends up going on and becomes, you know, a huge figure for the series. And I'm sure there are other, like, quote, heroic women that fit the bill a little bit more easily that they couldn't get. I think Colleen and Elizabeth probably both got calls and they declined, right? Like, if you were, like, more of a classic hero. But I do think Candace fits the aesthetic of the hero tribe. And I say that because she, you know, she's well-spoken, pretty, athletic. She's, like, giving, like, all-American girl. Yeah. And if you think, like, Colby is all-American guy, Candace kind of fits into that imagery really easily. And so, like, yeah, people probably won't even remember those details. We'll just toss her on. Maybe no one will notice. But I feel like before we get into our Candace moments, we have to kind of talk about this, which is, Gia, have you, you've heard the rumors that Candace was supposed to be on the Villains and was swapped last minute?
Yes, I have.
And Nigel, you're caught up on this too?
No, I actually don't think I'd heard that before.
Okay. So Gia, you correct me if you feel like you have a different memories of events, is that there was a belief that Candace had like red attire for Villains and Parvati blue for Heroes. And they swapped them because, you know, if Parvati's on the Heroes tribe, then she has Amanda and James and Suri all there. You know, that's like four people from Micronesia, and that would be unfair. So they just switched them last minute and called it a day. And that's how we kind of ended up in this universe. Gia, any other thoughts about that? Or do you buy this?
I do, honestly. I think that really any of those player, like Black Widow Brigade members, I would say, could make an argument to be in a hero or a villain tribe. So it totally makes sense that they would initially cast someone like Parvati as a hero and then realize that they had a lot of Micronesia folks on one tribe and then made that switch over to the Villains tribe. I think Parvati is also just a very versatile player. I think Suri is probably in that same camp that if you put them in the Villains, you could make a justification for that. And Candace, maybe on the surface level, if you're saying, well, she defected from her swap tribe to her original tribe, it sounds a little bit more villainous, but like Jeff tried to do, I guess you can make a case for that if you really want to. It'd be interesting to see Parvati play on a hero's tribe, I would say. But I think the dynamics we got were really good with the swap. So I certainly won't argue for that case.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And you know what? But I've always been a little suspicious of that. We'll call it a rumor. I don't know. And maybe it's probably been fully confirmed at this point. Just because if this is the universe we live in, I don't know why Parvati's a hero. Not because I love Parvati. Yeah. I like villains, right? But like Parvati's also framed as a bit of like a mean girl in Micronesia, you know, kind of an excluder. I mean, she calls Eric the dumbest survivor ever, like when she votes him out, right? Like there's like, it's easy to spin her as villainous. And Jeff even says that on the mat in Heroes versus Villains to her, which is that like you led this all devouring, all female alliance, you know, in this game. And it's like, well, Serena and Amanda are the Heroes tribe. So like, again, not the most consistent thing, but if Parvati's on the Heroes tribe originally, that means there were three winners on the Heroes tribe, one winner on the Villains tribe, which I feel like is a little imbalanced. And I've always felt like the villain woman that make the easiest case for being a hero is Sandra. And so that would have made more sense, but that doesn't seem to be the reality here. So
it's still a winner.
I almost feel like you could even make a case for like Danielle being a hero if you really wanted to, over if we're talking about people that you could swap over to the villain from the Villains tribe to the Heroes tribe. Cause like I rewatched Panama recently, and while her tribe is notoriously batshit crazy, I don't think she did anything particularly villainous to be on that tribe other than make it to the final two and take out, which I think would be universally agreed upon as like the front one or the favorites to win in Suri and Terry. I don't think there was necessarily anything villainous from her in Panama either. So some of the, well, again, it's still a fantastic season and you know, I can't argue with the results there. Definitely some choices in the how they decided who was going on Heroes and who was going to be on Villains.
Yeah, I think it's just a really interesting kind of exercise, and like how, again, there's a lot of like, you can be very liberal with these definitions as long as the product's good. Like we all kind of forgive it because we really like the season. Nigel, do you have any thoughts about what is a hero, or if we should be answering if Candace is a hero truly or not yet?
So, Gia, I very much agreed with your take that is Candace a hero? I think it's up to interpretation based on what you personally value. When I think of the heroes, not necessarily like the tribe itself, but like the heroes of Survivor, Candace does not feel like one of those people to me. She does feel more villainous, but I think that she, in her journey, felt like maybe close enough in the middle that production could move her in either direction that they wanted to. I think that like Parvati could have even more easily flown between either camp if you really wanted to put her in either one. So I'm going to say, I don't think that Candace was a hero. Gia, where do you think you come down?
I have said this several times, not just about Candace too. I think I've said very similar things about a player like Sandra, also from the Heroes versus Villains season. But when I think of Candace, I would say, is she a hero? She might be one of my Survivor heroes. But in terms of would I call her a hero in the game? Absolutely not. But I mean that with the highest praise possible. I think that on a tribe where they were really emphasizing honor and integrity, Candace is a much more flexible player than that. And it really bums me out that while we were not given the opportunity to really see her play with the villains in the way that I would have liked to, probably in part because they had no swap that season. And you know, Candace can do some really great things with a swap. I think that Candace would, if I'm sorting out players, whether I think they're heroes or villains in the context of Survivor, Candace would definitely be a villain to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Candace is a villain, though maybe a hero in my heart.
Yes.
But she does not fit the raw, almost like self-righteousness of the Heroes tribe, which is, I think, Candace does not give me Gryffindor, if you will. You know, like this is, and I think that's fair. But I also do think, I get the spin here. It does make a little bit of sense, though. Like the mutiny is coded as villainous. But like, you know, she's a medical student at the time, you know, I guess she's all American girl a little bit. So I get how they kind of got away with it. But Nige, are we ready to kind of, I know we talked so much about Candace already, but I feel like we need to kind of catch some people up to speed.
Yeah. Do you want to do the quick overview of her time on Survivor?
Yes. Okay.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is like the back of the baseball card, as I like to call it. So Candace. Then known as Candace Woodcock, Candace was a member of the Raro tribe in Cook Islands, playing alongside eventual legends like Jonathan Penner, Parvati Shallow, Ozzy, and later meeting Ozzy and Yule in the tribe swap. She's most known for mutinying from the Aichi tribe, earning their ire, and ultimately ending up in eighth place. Seven seasons later, she appears on the Heroes tribe in Heroes versus Villains. On that season, she went back to her mutinying ways and defected to the Villains Alliance after the merge and was soon voted out again in eighth place. Then seven more seasons later, Candace appears for her final time, now as Candace Cody with her husband, John, for Survivor Blood versus Water. She was voted out in an immediate twist on day one, but survived multiple duels on Redemption Island before being eliminated in 16th place. Over the course of her Survivor career, we've seen Candace go from a pre-med student to a medical student to a full-fledged doctor. And I will also add, she is also known for getting Billy Garcia to fall in love with her. And that's Candace for you.
Gia, what are some of your favorite Candace Cody moments from her time on the show?
I got to say, even though I, like, looking back on it, I was not a fan. And I don't even know if this was necessarily the right call for Candace. But the mutiny, you have to talk about. It's so iconic. I think she would have made it to the merge whether or not she mutinied or not. And maybe she would have had a couple more relationships going her way had she not mutinied. But oh my God, it was iconic. And it got Penner to mutiny with her. Fantastic. Fantastic move. It starts the chain of events that ends with like Penner going, siding with them. Again, with the ultimatum that Yule gives with the idol, it gives us the story of the I-24. I think some of the reactions to her mutiny were a little extreme, Ozzy. But I think that it's one of the things that you talk about on a season that was still trying to figure out what Survivor wanted to be. I think you get seasons like Guatemala, Panama, Palau, Cook Islands, like those really early like tens that they're trying to figure out how they want the idols to be used, how they want, if they want the Exile Island twist or a different thing. And she would eventually be a part of the Redemption Island twist as well. So there's a couple things in there that the mutiny itself just started. I gave Cook Islands kind of like a kick in the ass that I felt like it needed. You know, it really started to ramp up some things. And while the I-24 endgame was one of the big alliance stories of the ages, I think it's really awesome to see like that underdog story come to life as well. I don't think we get any of this without the Mutiny. And I think Cook Islands would not be rated as highly without it. I think a lot of people would say Cook Islands is mid tier to upper tier for seasons that they really like. And I don't think we get that level of excitement without the Mutiny.
Yeah.
I think also we go on to, I got to talk about Blood versus Water. Obviously, I hate that twist that they voted people out right at the very beginning, especially with returnee players. I just don't, any type of like minute one eliminations are just not anything that I like personally. But Candace holding her own, not just on Redemption Island, but really not taking anyone's crap on during the vote, during her elimination, during the Redemption Island stuff, like making sure her husband's head was in the game as well. I just like everything about Candace in Blood versus Water for the short time we had her was so iconic. I really wish we got to see her actually play the game there. And again, I think that, Kevin, you hit the nail on the head about the righteousness that was on the Heroes tribe throughout the season, which led to a lot of their downfalls. But I think that that continued to prove that Candace was, you know, just a different level of player than a lot of the players that we saw on the Heroes tribe. And while I will say to this day, she deserved to be on the Villains tribe that season, I think seeing the clashes between what Candace thought and what a lot of the heroes, usually the men, thought was a really great inner tribe conflict to see. I think we got a lot of conflict on the villains because of just who those players are. And I think that we got arguments on the heroes tribe for very different reasons. And I think Candace is one of the stars on those tribe, the type of player that like would get us to want to see like her play again, to see her kind of like pull one over on the heroes in Heroes versus Villains. And while she still only ended in eighth place, I think she did get she got a couple licks in on the way through.
Yeah, I think Candace, you know, and I actually will say this about Danielle DiLorenzo as well, is that I think they're kind of like a secret ingredient a little bit, where they really help other characters around them pop a bit more. And I think you really see that in a lot of her seasons. I think she's so central in so many things. Nige, my favorite Candace moment, and you'll know this, but I won't let Gia know, is I love Candace's jury speech from Heroes versus Villains.
I'm surprised it took 28 minutes to get there. Kevin quotes it often.
Once a week, perhaps. And just random moments. Because Candace is kind of like a mild-mannered person. She makes big decisions, but like she's not someone who like yells at you. She's not a screamer. She's a bit of an ice queen, if you will. Like, I think she's a little bit more reserved at times. I think she's more cerebral. And that jury speech, I just feel like it's so quotable. When she confronts Russell, she goes, "Russell, you have to tell lies in this game, but you told dirty lies, lies you didn't need to tell. And you hurt people doing that." And I just love her little Southern accent also popping in there.
I was going to say, sometimes you do it with the Southern accent.
You hurt people doing that. It's just so cute. But it's like, it feels so severe. And I think what really makes, you know, a lot of these seasons work is that people lean into the themes a bit. And she's like, you heard people doing that and you didn't have to. It's so simplistic and so easy to understand. And it kind of captures, again, the frustration the heroes have with Russell. And then she turns to Parvati. And my favorite part's really the end. She goes, "I like you, but I can't support that." Which I say to Nigel, again, once a week, he'll suggest a movie or something. And I'll go, "I like you, but I can't support that." And she even ends her thing and says, you know, it's not just it's about how you treat people. It's not just what you'll stand for. It's what you'll fall for too, which feels very hero in a way.
Yeah.
There's something about Candace emoting so hard, despite kind of being a naturally a bit of a game bot person, I think inside, there's just something about that captured me, to quote many of a drag queen, work. You know, like it was just, I just thought it was so powerful and something so unexpected because, you know, Candace is just not the person I would expect to be so feisty at times. Yes. Even though her Survivor career is literally filled with feisty moments, she really gives that for me. But Nige, do you have any Candace moments you want to highlight?
I mean, I think that you were totally right when you said that Candace is a secret ingredient person where she makes everyone around her more interesting than they would be without her there. I mean, one of my favorite moments from Cook Islands is after the mutiny and the iTunes win a challenge and they get to send someone to exile, Yule turns to everyone. He goes, 1, 2, 3. And they all say, Candace. Like, they have such disdain for her. And she mutinies, right? She leaves them. But I think if she had done that in like the 20s or the 30s, she would not get the same level of ire that she does earlier in the show. And I don't think that's exactly surprising. I love the arguments with Brad Culpepper after her elimination, right? Like, really iconic. And I think you're right, Kevin, that like on one hand, she feels a bit ice queen at times, but on others, she's very feisty. And, you know, she actually, I think, is very outspoken and is someone who has a lot of relationships or has a lot of important relationships with men throughout her time. Whereas, like, I think if you think of Parvati, we often think of Parvati in her relationships with women. But for Candace, you know, immediately, I think of Adam, Penner,
Billy,
Ozzy's pissed. In Heroes versus Villains,
Rupert
and Colby are pissed. You have JT. John, Brad Culpepper in
Blood versus Water.
Thank you. And it's very interesting that she actually has a lot of, I think, really important relationships along the way.
And I think she has a firmness to kind of go toe to toe with these men. And she's really, she feels like the person that like could run a meeting in a workplace. You know, like she's very, you know, she's very intelligent, which I'm sure probably creates issues with some men, you know, that she's an outspoken woman who's willing to make, I think, hard decisions. So it is really interesting to think about Candace in those ways.
And, you know, I actually, in preparation, I read her bio. It must have been for Cook Islands. That was saying that she was inspired watching Survivor Africa to go to Africa. And she lived with like a family. It was described as like a hut and was volunteering to give away like medical supplies and stayed there for like an extended period of time. And then when she returned back to the United States in school, she was a part of a student-run nonprofit organization where she then became a part of leadership. And then she was a part of the, she was like leading this nonprofit as a student. And she, you know, got like a perfect score on her SATs for like the math portion. Like she seems like someone who must have been just very confident from a
young age too, and ambitious
and is really willing to go toe to toe and is not afraid to make big moves in the way that we would say it now.
Gia, you work in like an education and stuff. So does Candace give student leader to you?
Oh, you know, my God, absolutely. She'd be running the student, she'd be running that student government association like the Navy. I swear to God, she would be, oh, my God, everything would be in tip top shape. I think that like she is a Slytherin that uses her powers for good. I think that like she's the type of person I want to have as a friend or like a coworker that you go out with for drinks afterwards because you know the tea is going to be good. Like, it's just like, this is one of the players that I'm like, if we could just be best friends, I think that we would get along very well. Yes, I think Candace is a perfect choice to be a Survivor contestant because was her game perfect in any of these seasons? No. And I think part of it is that, you know, she has to work with what she is given here. So I think that maybe she might be a little bit ahead of her time in terms of some of these moves that, like you said before, Nigel, like probably would not be met with the same ire in previous later seasons, I should say. But she holds her own no matter what. Like even with like when they're sending her to Exile Island, she's not backing down from her decision. She's frustrated, but she's not going to let them win. She's not going to let them get the best of her. She's going to stand in her own 2 feet and really give it to them the best that she can. And I think that's something that is just so commendable about her. And I'm sure she's like that in real life. And even going off of like what you said, Kevin, about her relationships with men throughout the season, I think we could see that with her husband in Blood versus Water, is that these two were really a formidable pair, even when she was on Redemption Island and John was still in the game, that he wanted to support her. He was proud of her. He was so happy to see her like hold her own as well. Like he's a supportive partner to her. And I loved seeing that. I love seeing these two give the other players hell for as long as they could.
Yeah. And I think, oh gosh, I just had on the tip of my tongue about Candace. She's just, I just think she's really great. And in some ways, I feel like she's even better than all of her individual parts. Like in each individual season, Candace is pretty decently ranked for me. But I think overall, when I think about who Candace is, I'm like, I'm so glad we have someone like Candace there. Nice. Did you want to kind of get into
your data? Research.
My research, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Gia, you might recall that I usually do a dive and try to research what do fans think about these contestants now and also then, to kind of really discuss their legacy as a whole. So when I was doing the Candace Cody research, I went onto Reddit to start off with, and I found a lot of questions in around Candace. Threads named, "Can someone explain to me how in the hell is Candace considered a hero after her Cook Island season?" Or, "Why is Candace Cody hated so much?" Or, "I feel like this fandom is way too hard on Candace Cody." So in many ways, there's discussion and discourse. I did want to point out a really fun thing is that in all three of these things that I found, the Billy Garcia love misconnection thing is referenced. So like the top comment on, "Can someone explain to me how in the hell Candace is considered a hero after her Cook Island season?" The top comment is, "She helped someone find love. That's pretty heroic to me." "Why is Candace Cody hated so much?" Top comment, "Because people are jealous that Billy had eyes for only for Candace." "I feel like this fandom is way too hard on Candace Cody." Top comment, "Candace from Railroad Tribe." it's like a fun running gag.
Yes.
With her. And I think what's interesting, you know, on this is, you know, people definitely talk about how, you know, maybe you didn't like Candace, but, you know, she was a really big character in Cook Islands. And I've actually personally believed that if you thought Candace doesn't make sense to be ever a returning in any capacity, even as just a two-time player, you're probably a misogynist, because if you don't remember her in the mutiny, like, well, like, she's like the most visible woman, at least on Cook Islands, in my opinion. So like, it shouldn't be crazy. I get why, you know, a lot of things happen in life. Maybe you don't remember every single detail, like, you know, super fans really do. But like, if you're calling yourself a Survivor super fan, you should know who Candace Cody is, in my opinion.
So here's a quick question. Between Billy, Adam, and John, does she have the most like showmance options of anyone that's been on the show?
I think Ozzy could be close.
Oh yeah. Mm.
I think Ozzy, he's always had like a couple interested parties, I would say, in his four seasons now. I would say he's got one more season than her, though. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Give her a fourth.
Give her a fourth and see what happens.
Yes.
And, you know, Candace, when she's on Heroes versus Villains, she's engaged to John Cody. So, like, yes, you know, like, we've really seen, and actually kind of like with Boston Rob, we've seen Candace grow, you know, as an adult.
We definitely have.
She's very young in Cook Islands. I think because she's so well-spoken, we kind of forget, but she's only 23 on that season. So, like, again, we've seen so much from her. What I wanted to go back to is, and G, I think you'll appreciate this, in the thread called, "I feel like this fandom is way too hard on Candace Cody," one of the top comments is, "I don't blame her for flipping in Heroes versus Villains. If I were in an alliance with fucking Rupert, Colby, and JT, I would hang myself." She handled it well.
Honestly, flipping was just the safest option for everybody, honestly. But I agree. And I think that there are a lot of players that started in the old school. Jerry's a perfect example. What the hell did Jerry do to be called a villain? Especially like rewatching Survivor Australia. The first time I watched Survivor Australia in full, because, you know, you watch clips here and there. But the first time I watched the full season, I was maybe like 22, 23, something like many, many years after the season originally aired. And having seen all of those seasons in the time, all the new seasons, the new school seasons, and where we get like the real survivor villains, I was just like, what? By the standards that we have now for what makes a survivor villain, Jerry Manthe would be like, is just would be a Twitter queen at this point. She'd be getting all the fan cams. We'd be demanding more Jerry screen time. There would be, we'd all be rioting the minute she gets voted out if Survivor Australia aired today. So I think Candace is one of those other players that falls into those categories of like, would I call them survivor villains? Yeah, I can see that. Do I think they're bad people? Do I think that like they deserve the ire they got on their season? No, they didn't do anything particularly villainous. They're just strong characters that went against whoever the designated hero of that season is.
Yeah. Gia, now I'm really bummed that Australia did not air at a time in which we were able to get Jerry Manthe fan cams.
I know.
I feel like we really missed out.
I feel like between just Jerry as a person and Tina Wesson end up winning the season, I just feel like Twitter would have been thriving during a Twitter era. We would be thriving in when Survivor Australia was airing. You know, like I just think that was a mother off would have happened. Like between that Amber and then her coming back and winning. I just think that, you know, they really did themselves a disservice not having Twitter in 2002.
I think actually it was one of a fun season to put on Netflix, actually, because you would have new people discovering
it. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think, you know, for some people who come from the new school era, like Australia doesn't hold up in the same way because it's a little slower. But I think like if you really marinate and stuff, I mean, it's a lot of just fun interpersonal dynamics. And Jerry's a villain because like she has the audacity to be a woman in 2000 talking about sex, but like, you know, that is kind of just how we framed things back then.
But if they put it on Netflix, that is probably how we'll end up getting fan cams of Jerry.
Yeah, so maybe also I found a Reddit popularity poll from 2016. In this, they rated, you know, all the contestants up to like about the first 32 seasons or so. So like in this point, like Candace has three appearances. So there's Cook Islands Candace, Heroes versus Villains Candace, and Blood versus Water Candace. And they are, you know, we all vote between 1 and 10 and they show up ranked order. So Gia, I want to ask, out of the three incarnations of Candace, which one do you think is the most popular?
Ooh, I'd say Heroes versus Villains. This was in 2016, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say Heroes versus Villains.
Okay. Nige, do you have a guess on which is the least popular Candace?
Ooh, okay. So I feel like I want to say her Blood versus Water outing will actually be very popular because she's like a big character while she's there and she's not there all that long. And it's interesting. And she's there with John Cody. And I think John Cody was well liked. And I don't know. She like sides with Russell in Heroes versus Villains. And so many of the fans were a huge fan of Russell, right? And liked what he did. So I'm going to say Cook Islands.
Okay. The lowest ranked Candace in this popularity poll is Heroes versus Villains Candace.
Really?
Wow. Right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
She's ranked 467th out of 575. So she's actually bottom fifth. She's about the 81st.
Ooh.
You know, like from the top percentage wise. But her most favorable demographic is women. Right. Which I think we maybe assume that maybe men have a disproportionate amount of influence in this poll, perhaps,
Reddit,
stuff like that.
Perhaps.
So, yeah, that's the lowest Candace. The next Candace is Cook Islands Candace, ranked 376th out of 575. So that's about the 2/3 margin. So still bottom half, but kind of closer in that middle area. Her most favorable demographic, gay and bi voters for this Candace.
Okay.
It's all coming together now.
Yes. And the highest ranked Candace is Blood versus Water Candace, ranked at 212th out of 575. She's in the top 37% of characters. And her most favorable demographic for Blood versus Water Candace is gay and bi voters again. So, you know, we actually had an episode, is Rob Cicernino a gay icon? I think we can ask the same question about Candace perhaps, but I think Candace gets more like edgy as time goes on. And I think we see that through all of these ratings.
And I feel like it's very easy to see Candace as like fighting the patriarchy in her time on Survivor. And I'm sure that Reddit's gay and bi voters love that.
Yeah. Candace feels like she could have totally been an honorable member of the Black Widow Brigade. Like, I feel like in many 100%. Ways, in my head canon, she was one of, you know, she replace Alexis Jones with Candace. Oh. Just like put her in there.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I think having her in Micronesia would might have been a mother overload, but one I would want to see.
You know, a mother like, overload. I love
a mother over. There would be just mothers across the board, and I would not complain about it at all.
And so, you know, kind of what I've picked up on here, you know, going through the current consensus of Candace and kind of doing research, is that a lot of people seem confused by Candace's being a hero, essentially, in Heroes versus Villains and stuff, which it makes sense. I think we all kind of agree with that to an extent. People, she seems to like, she'll be a bit polarizing. Actually, in all of her rankings, she has quoted high standard deviation, which means that like she's polarizing to an extent, whether she really works for you or doesn't. And Candace is just, also, I think the other thing is a lot of people are kind of confused why Candace is a returnee even, which I think is crazy to me because I think Candace pops in all of her seasons. But I think for some people, like, she's kind of forgettable, I guess. I don't know. Have you ever ran into this? Do you pick up on people maybe underrating Candace in some way?
I mean, I think you've said it. You hit the nail on the head. Like, I think with the overwhelming influence that men often have, usually straight men have on forums like these, I wouldn't be surprised that people are surprised by her returning. I think they're crazy for not anticipating, like, that or them questioning why Candace Cody would ever warrant a return. I think that really any of the returning seasons that we have had could have justified a Candace return. Obviously, besides the ones that she was ineligible for, like Second Chances or Winners at War. But I think she's just a very, especially when you're thinking about like, so Heroes versus Villains, Micronesia was first, but that is fans versus favorites. So you only have 10 spots there. So kind of hard to come up with like the perfect, like well-rounded cast in that where you have like 10 slots from the previous like 15 seasons that you have to choose from. Heroes versus Villains, you have a cast of, I believe they had a cast of 20 and 10 heroes, 10 villains. I think Candace still at season 20 remains one of those big characters of the earlier seasons, you know? And I wouldn't see a reason why she wouldn't return at least once at some point, especially with the reactions that the I24 had against her after she mutinied. It just feels like it's an ending, but it's not necessarily the ending I want for Candace. And seeing her evolve over those three seasons, I think has just been such a delight.
Yeah.
And I really wonder what the reaction to Candace would have been if they had just put her on the villains tribe. Because I think if she is pitched as a villain, she mutinies and leaves the tribe. I mean, that's one of the easiest like sound bites that you're able to do. And just like, quick, Candace is here. She did this on to the next villain. Right. And I also wonder if like, is part of the reason there is some confusion with people about why she's returned so often is because she never makes it that far because she's eighth in Cook
Islands. Eight and 16. So she is one of the lower averages
for like a three-time player. But like, I think she leaves her mark every single time.
She's always targeted, right? She's never like a last minute, oh, I guess we'll get rid of Candace. Like there's always a reason. And I feel like that's why she pops. She leaves an impact on all of her seasons. Like she's part of central moments in all of them. And I feel like if you don't see that, like what show are you watching?
Yeah. She makes her presence known. And that's the big, that's what you want in your returnee players. You don't want to just have somebody there because like they made it far in the game. Lots of people can make it far in the game with, you know, a decent under the radar strategy. Candace makes her presence known and in all three seasons, like you said, and not every player can do that.
Yeah. And I think Candace is, you know, she's not the flashiest like confessionalist. You know, she's not like jumping around being super quotable in confessional. You know, I kind of contrast her to someone like, say, like Sifu on Survivor 45, who clearly has a big personality. You totally understand why this person was cast on Survivor to begin with.
Yes.
But actually in the story, kind of unrelated, you know, inconsequential to some extent. Candace always feels consequential to me. I think she's the opposite. Like, she actually has a lot of substance, but she just isn't someone who's screaming in confessional. So some people who really need that type of stimulus kind of forget about her.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
It does bring me to the historic review when I did my research about how was Candace perceived back in the day.
Oh, God.
First, I want to actually talk about the heroes versus villains casting, because I feel like that's, you know, kind of the central question we have here. Andy Denhart writes about Candace Cody in February of 2010, pregame. So this is what he says about in like, I guess, the pre-casting stuff. Andy writes, besides Danielle, Candace was the other person I just didn't recognize or remember. Her Cook Islands mutiny was good TV, but listening to the recording of her conversation almost put me to sleep at first. And then goes on to say, but despite being super quiet and demure, she's got a really great subtle edge to her that woke me up and made me think she could go really far, especially this season. So I think that may be kind of points out again, maybe a perspective that, yeah, because Candace isn't the flashiest person, people might have forgot. But like, if you're reminded about the mutiny, you definitely remember the mutiny. Like, that's very clear in people's minds.
Yeah, I think that we need to remember that there's also a lot of people who don't watch the show nearly as closely and consume the podcast,
blasphemy,
all of the articles.
How dare they? Get out.
I'm sure there's at least a few
gatekeeping here.
And I think that
this is a gatekeeping space. I'm sorry.
And I'm sure that there is something to be said about her confessionals not being the most memorable. She's very factual. Not a lot of like variation, not a lot of animation. But, you know, when she's fighting with someone, that's when she really gets it.
She's a lot of interpersonal dynamics. She kind of reminds me of Eliza a little bit for the same reason. Again, like an educated, intelligent, kind of outspoken woman that maybe is a little prickly to people who really kind of want their egos massaged a bit more. So like, I feel like Candace really does, is really has a lot of value. I looked up the Dalton Ross EW article from the mutiny episode in Cook Islands. In it, Dalton writes, which brings us to Candace and Jonathan. They took up Jeff Probst up on his offer to switch tribes. Why, you may ask? Well, we all know why in the instance for Candace, because she thought the railroad tribe had, quote, more fun, which I do recall Candace actually saying. And I think that does maybe point to Candace being a villain, because that's a villain answer. It's more fun to be with the railroads, you know? And the I-2s are, right?
Yes. I mean, that's very fair. I think like the majority of her tribe, the ones that she was close with, were on the Raro tribe. Everybody, you like, they're her main allies are similar age demographics to her. I mean, I don't think that's a wrong assessment that the Raro tribe had more fun than the I-2-4. Yeah. But I wouldn't say that's the only reason why she switched over either. Like, I don't think I don't even know if the mutiny was necessarily the best thing for her. Like, I wouldn't say this was like one of the all time great moves, but it was fantastic television. And like, she can flip for whatever reason she wants. Like, who am I? I wish more people switched tribes or switched alliances just because one was more fun, you know?
You know, it's crazy because, you know, now people switch at the drop of a hat. If anything, I feel like people should probably be a little bit more concrete and loyal in the new era, just because it's a little too fluid to keep to have like,
yes.
I want you to be mad when someone flips on you. And so when Candace is able to do that, it's really exciting. And I also found in the article for the Mutiny episode, they say, speaking of which, is anyone actually rooting for Rero? I, too, has always had the more colorful characters, but now they even have the unwanted underdog angle going for them, which I think, again, points to at the time that I2s really were supposed to be people we liked, especially when they're so outnumbered 8-4. But Gia, I wanted to ask you, were you mad, though, right? You were mad when Candace mutinied?
Oh my God, I can't even remember what I thought at the time. I think I did like the I24 more. I think like I was a big Yule fan during that time. And I think that like Ozzy was the one getting a lot of the positive like press, positive edit during that time. So I think that would make the most sense, honestly. I don't know if I was necessarily mad, but I was like very shocked by it because I just didn't think that was going to be something that would happen at that point. And yeah, I think I liked a couple people on each side. So at that point, it was a little inconsequential. I had no idea what was going to happen from there, though. So like, who could have predicted what actually happening?
Yeah.
You know, I think because by the time I got to Cook Islands, I think I was spoiled on the fact that they were both going to mutiny. Kevin, do you remember what your thought was at the time?
I hated Candace, I think, after this. You know, because the casual interpretation of this is that, you know, whether you like I2 or Rero really has no bearing until the mutiny. That's when you really start, you know, you have a team now to root for. And almost everyone was rooting for the I2s. I mean, don't you want to see the group of the plucky four, like kind of pull it out over these like
left.
Really kind of brats? I mean, the Reros were like are like brats, essentially. Now, I love brats. So like it's
very
fun.
So.
But like they are definitely the more negatively toned players. And I remember being really mad at Candace, and it wasn't lost on me even at that time in my life that, you know, this is a season where they were divided by race, and Candace jumped ship. It makes sense why she would want to work with people that started on her original tribe, but it's not the best optics that you're jumping to like a group of majority white people who ends up kind of almost forcing a majority by the merge, leaving these four, you know, POCs, you know, stranded.
Yeah. She makes the decision before Penner follows.
Yeah, she didn't know she was doing that. She was actually trying to get away from Penner, I think.
So. Yeah, she's like,
So I think there is also, now that I'm a little older, obviously, kind of just like, I think that when you're observing a season like Cook Islands, that the players were literally divided by race at the start. It's that combination of things where it's like, we finally have a more diverse cast, but then we run into problems like this where we're getting a white majority with this option to mutiny. But it also makes sense because you would want to have a majority with your starting tribe members. So it's one of those things. There's so much nuance to it at this point because I think most people in this day and age and 2024 can say that like the way that the twist was presented to us was not done very eloquently, and which leads to results like the mutiny. But also there were a lot of interesting dynamics within those tribes that bears more observation, I guess I would say.
I agree with you. Because I know Gia has some thoughts on this. Do you think the mutiny was a good move? I feel like that we have to answer that question or talk about it a bit.
So I think it's hard to know exactly if it was a good move or not for her. Candace is athletic. She is no slouch in the challenges. I don't exactly blame her for not realizing that the I2s were just going to like clean house after the mutiny.
You wouldn't have assumed.
I don't think that you should have assumed that, right? I think it's very possible that Candace would kind of end up going out in like eighth, kind of like no matter if she does or does not mutiny. But I think leaving a group where she probably rightly believes that she is on the chopping block, could be going out soon, and she has the opportunity to go rejoin with her alliance. Like if they just do a better job with Penner, you know, like it could have totally worked out for her. So I think that it was like not a terrible idea by any means.
And Gia, what do you think?
I don't think it was a good move. And the reason I say this, and I remember this because this was actually one of the episodes I wrote about when Inside Survivor was ranking the 100 best episodes of all time. The surprise, the thing I forgot about when this, when I rewatched this episode, just this sole episode here, was that the I-24 that originally did not include Ozzy, Candace was the fourth member there. And the decision when they were talking about it at the very beginning of this episode too, was that if they lost the next immunity challenge, whatever that immunity challenge would be, the assumption was that they were going to get rid of Penner next, but they were also started to waver with the idea of voting out Ozzy. They're getting close to the merge. They don't really need him as a physical asset at that point anymore. They had no idea that jury started that early, as it did on Cook Islands as well. So I think that Candace, what I think this is the move that secured her a returnee season. So if you want to think about it, like meta brain it, it was a great move. In terms of her going far in Cook Islands, I think that if she stays on the I2 beach, she is at least safe for two rounds. I don't think that Yule and Becky were looking to get rid of her anytime soon. I think that is really like the nucleus of that beach at that point. And once she hits merge, then she can switch over to the Raro Alliance if she so chooses there. But I don't think that her game was improved in any way by flipping, not just because of the reactions of the people that she mutinied to, but I think she really, on a strategic standpoint, cut off a lot of her potential allies and maneuvers, like her options for herself, by doing such a bold move as the mutiny on a tribe she probably wasn't going to go home on in this current format. So I think that that was not a good move for her, but a great move for the audience, for the viewers.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I think Candace could probably just waited to flip at the merge, right? And then would have totally been fine. But yeah, I think she saw an opportunity to get back. You know, Parvati and Adam also sent her to Exile Island like in episode 3 to protect her from the tribal council that her tribe was going to go to and stuff. So like, I think she's seeing signals that like, I'll be better over there. I don't think she obviously probably connects to Yule and Becky because they're also very intelligent, but like they're a little bit more serious. And I think she wants, you know, Adam is like her pseudo boyfriend, right? So it's like, I'm going to go over to this group. And I think that is what ended up happening. I don't think it was the best move, but I think it was a calculated risk.
I think you really won me over, Gia, with the argument that she inadvertently started to cut off a lot of options for her. Mm-hmm. I totally see that. But that's why I'm glad that Jeff gave them, I think it was like 10 seconds after announcing it to like make the decision. Because if you really sit with it, maybe she like runs through scenarios and is like, she identifies everything that you're saying. And it's like, oh, I can wait it out a little bit longer. We're probably not that far out. So I love that they put the pressure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gia.
Oh, I was going to just say that, yeah, I think that really the only person that I would say probably should have mutinied was Penner, possibly Ozzy, but I don't think Ozzy knew that he was potentially in danger now. And because we, as the audience, remember Cook Islands as the season of the I-24, we often forget the fact that, like, Ozzy was not originally part of the core alliance of I-2 until he was forced to be with the mutiny. So it set up a remarkable story for that season. But in terms of for Candace's individual game, yeah, I think that she had a lot more options to her not mutinying. And for Penner, it's really for him 50-50, whether it would have been him or Ozzy going at that point, should they lose the immunity challenge there.
Yeah, I think her flipping heroes versus villains makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually telegraphed. I think we forget, you know, if you were watching live, you might have totally forgot, oh, Candace was at the bottom of the heroes tribe, because there are several episodes after Tom goes where she disagrees with that, in fact. And Tom and James, you know, they're out. And now we have all of our attentions really on the villains tribe as they get rid of Coach and Courtney. And then you have the whole, is there a women's alliance that's running the villains tribe, like theory that Rupert has and stuff. So I think people forget that Candace was not happy with her group after Suri was voted off even. Like she did not like JT.
Me too, Candace.
She didn't want to be with them. But because we kind of stopped talking about the heroes for a bit and focus on the villains dynamics, and when we get into the merge, there's like some music cues about Candace like dropping out of the challenge really early, the one where they hang on the pole, and that maybe we don't need, like, why does she do that? And so like the flip totally makes sense if you recall that she was at the bottom, but I just don't think that was like front of mind for so many people because so many other storylines starting to emerge. I did want to talk about the Candace boot episode in Heroes versus Villains. I found Dalton Ross's recap episode there. They mentioned the fight between Colby and Candace. And one of my favorite moments here, he says, then while casting his vote for Candace, Colby went the high and mighty route, proclaiming, quote, I can honestly say I'm proud of the way I played this game. Can you? Which is so Colby, you know, like this is, you know, a very condescending, but like very like judgmental,
self-righteous.
Because I think Candace's move made sense there. And then the last thing I'll say with Dalton Ross, he talks about the blood versus water episode and Candace's boot episode and says two things here. No doubt Candace is super bummed about how it went for her this third time, but she should look at the silver lining. She was voted out 5 minutes in the game, yet lasted to day 11. And then at the end says, I'll say this about Candace before we move on. She showed a lot more pluck and spunk this time out than she did in her two previous outings. And that's without spending a single second on a tribe beach. So I think Candace actually probably won over a lot of people in her third appearance, which is interesting because it's her shortest appearance.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And, you know, when you went through the poll, it showed that she, her final outing is the most popular one. So I think you're right that she never really got a chance. She was the alternate for Blood versus Water and is voted out before they even leave the mats that they start off with. And it is very impressive to make it to day 11 after being voted out 5 minutes into the game.
Gio, you were watching live by Blood versus Water, is that right?
Yes, I was.
Do you recall your reactions, feelings about Candace being cast on that season and all of that?
Yeah, I was interested in it because obviously beforehand, I don't keep up too much with players after their season, especially not at that time. So I didn't know about like Candace's relationship status or anything. And we remember that she had her showmance in Cook Island. So we see her married. It's a nice, and I would say the same about players like Tyson, who was single when he started his Survivor journey. And now we see him on his winning season, Blood versus Water, with his very serious girlfriend that would later become his wife. And so it was nice to see the evolution of those players. I already said before, I don't like the day one eliminations, minute one, like eliminations. They do it on Big Brother. They do it here sometimes. And it's just never fun for me. So I did not like that. And seeing how Candace held her own in Redemption Island, while yes, it was a very unique story and she held her own and was really great to see her tough it out for that long after being voted out minute one, it made me even more angry because I was like, we could have had this on the main stage. We could have had this on the tribe. We could have seen her try to, like, who knows what would have happened if she was actually part of a tribe. Yes, maybe she would have still been voted out first, or maybe she would have had her time to actually be integrated into an alliance somewhere or show that she has some challenge prowess and people want to keep her around for longer. I think I would have liked this twist better if it was like voting someone out and then switching them to the tribe as opposed to immediately eliminating them to put it on Exile Island. Like, I think seeing like John on the returnees tribe and her on the heroes, or her on
the
newbies tribe, or Laura, if it was, if the loved ones didn't have the option to switch places with them or anything like that. I think there were better ways to do this. And I think the fact that we lost Candace so early because of this twist, and Rupert also, who is, you know, whether or not you are a big Rupert fan or not, he is a big character. So to lose him minute one as well, it just seems like such a lost opportunity here. So I really liked Candace in her final showing. I was really excited to see if she would potentially do like a Redemption Island run, but I really hate how it played out for her. I really wish that we could have seen her in the game again. And it's sad that we did not get that for her. But again, this is one of the things that makes Candace so iconic, is that like she holds her own no matter what.
Yeah. And I really love how she's a bit of a, like a protective mama bear, if you will, on Redemption Island. Like she's very protective over Marissa. She's welcoming all the people that keep getting discarded.
Yes.
And she's like, she's the one who I think who says F you Brad Culpepper, or she's the first one to start it off.
So. Yes.
You know, she's getting in feisty fights with Monica and Brett. Like, there's just something really fun about Candace, who's like, at this point, I have nothing to lose. And I also think there's a fun, also continuation of a story that Rupert votes for Candace to be eliminated, and she votes for him back in Heroes versus Villains at her final tribal council. Mm-hmm. And so now they have to live together, and she has to defeat him. There's some really fun stuff there, but it would have been nice to see Candace get a full shot. Nigel, do you have any final thoughts about Candace and her Blood versus Water iteration?
I think it's very funny that she ended up stuck on Redemption Island with Rupert. Like, it's not just a reunion. It's like in extremely close quarters where you don't have other people like to like get some space with when you normally would on any other tribe, right? So I think that that's like a really fun dynamic for her that, well, dynamic for us, not a fun dynamic for her. And I cannot imagine that that's how she imagined her third Survivor outing experience was going to be.
Yes.
Kevin, do you have any other historical data that you wanted to share?
The only thing I want to mention is that I looked at confessional counts overall between all contestants, and Candace actually has the fewest confessionals for a three-time player. She only
Blasphemy.
Has... I know, isn't that crazy? She has 34 confessionals overall, 15 in Cook Islands, 12 in Heroes versus Villains, 7 in Blood versus Water. And I think maybe that's the biggest case about her being maybe more of a low profile person, right? Because she doesn't get a lot of confessionals. I think she pops in like in tribal, like in like all these different places, but maybe not in confession. And I think it should be noted that she was on Exile Island a lot in Cook Islands. So like, how many confessionals are you giving her? One confessional. It sucks out here. Cut away. Next. Like, you really don't need to spend a lot of time with her to do those things. But she really doesn't have a whole lot. I think she has 34 overall, and Laura Moret has 34 overall, and Laura Moret's only on 2 seasons. So again, it kind of shows that she's a little unrelated from that type of storytelling device, but I think she's still a pretty big character in all three.
And I'm sure part of that too is also that she has one of the lowest placement averages for a third time player as well.
Jeff Varner, I think, has a lower average overall. Mm-hmm. He never makes the merge in any of his seasons. Sorry, never makes the jury on any of his seasons, but he was also on the Australian Outback, which had so many confessionals. I mean, back in the early days, you were having confessionals like in the middle of camp talking about food. So like his has a higher confessional count overall. But that was my research, both the historic view of Candace, the current view of Candace. And I think we can start wrapping things up, Nige.
So, you know, as we kind of go into the overall evaluation and reflection on this journey that we've taken here, something that actually I think is kind of interesting that stands out to me is when you were looking at the historical data, there were quotes about, I think, alluding to the fact that Candace is not very liked by a lot of people, right? And, you know, I remember when I watched Cook Islands for the first time, we were visiting California, staying with my family, and my dad watched a couple of the episodes with us. He does not watch Survivor. So for him, it was just like something that was on. And I don't remember what triggered it, but at one moment he just exclaimed, "That woman is unlikable," about Candace. And I think it's really because the editing does not tell you that you're supposed to be rooting for Candace, right? Like you are not supposed to be on her side. You're supposed to be on the iTunes side. And I think that a lot of people view the show through the edit that is given to them without trying to be like critical and considering how it might actually, how you could view it in like different ways. And then when you looked at the data from the current consensus, it's a lot of people asking, why don't we like Candace? Like, why are we so mad at her? And I wonder if it's that, like, with some more time, the visceral feelings that some people had with her have just like faded. And as we think back, it's like, well, I don't think any of it was actually all that bad to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's like, and you see this in politics a lot. It's like voters with high information versus voters that don't pay attention. Like some candidates do better with those groups than other groups. And like, I think Candace does better with super fans, with people that like really care about the intricacies, that want to talk about like game theory and stuff, where she probably doesn't do very well with people that are there just for, that are kind of passively watching, is they just remember, oh, she mutinied, she lied, she's bad.
She betrayed.
She betrayed, okay. Bad person. And that's it. And I think if you really kind of want to, if you really like discourse, you know, playing devil's advocate a little bit, thinking about all the different sides that Candace is considering here, it's a lot more fun. And I think it's the better perspective to have. And I think she works better with them.
Definitely. Gia, I actually have a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you have, you know, knowing how Heroes versus Villains goes, would you have put Candace on the Villains tribe or would you keep her on the Heroes?
So it's so hard because I love this season. The only thing I would change is the amount of confessionals Russell gets. I'm a big Sandra fan.
Kevin and I are nodding vigorously for those words.
Yes, we are.
I would say that if I could change, oh my God. The only thing I can think of is swapping Danielle and Candace. And even as I say it, I'm like not totally convinced about it. So like I liked having players like Sandra and Candace there. We have like Sandra, who is like, I should have been on the Heroes tribe. I don't like any of these people. And having the defector, I guess I will say, on Heroes, where Candace doesn't say it in so many words as Sandra, but it's very much implied there. So I think for the final product that we get, I'm not upset with having Candace on the Heroes tribe, if only to have that perspective, have that
spice it up.
Yeah, to spice up the what made the Heroes tribe. Do I think she deserved that? No, I do not. But I think for the product that we got and getting some detractors from like the honor, integrity, righteousness that was on the Heroes tribe, I think it made the season more interesting. It made the Heroes tribe more interesting, and it pushed against the narrative of what we should expect from a survivor hero. And I think that was really important to me watching it back. And I think that made Candace a player that I appreciated a lot more. So I would say I always will say Candace deserved to be on the Villains tribe, and I mean that with like the highest respect for her, I am very happy with the end result. So I said I don't think that, for all the reasons I stated, I don't think I would switch her.
I think that was so well said, Gia, and I'm completely with you. I think that she's an important dynamic on the Heroes tribe. You know, it's very easy, as I said earlier, for us to just kind of like come up with what is a hero on Survivor. But I think that you could end up with too many people who are too similar. And I think that you want to have people who are going to clash a little bit more. That makes things so much more interesting.
Yeah. And I will also say, I think people forget that Candace has a bit of a winner's edit in Heroes versus Villains in the pre-merge. And I think it's because we're supposed to kind of see the game a little bit through her eyes, that like the heroes are a mess and Candace is the smartest one there and she knows it, right? Like, you know, as soon as Candace aligned with Suri, I go, oh, top two. You know, like I was like, oh, this is the faction of the heroes I want to see succeed.
That's mothers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's like, oh, and Candace is going to want to be a doctor and Suri's a nurse. And like, it they match very well. I really love when things are poetic. And it's just, you know, Candace, we're supposed to kind of really see the game through her eyes, but it's never super positively toned. You know, she's almost kind of like a reliable narrator, observer. And it's only really towards the end of each of her seasons where she kind of pops off or like gets more negatively toning from the edit that makes us supposed to like, oh, well, we're supposed to root for the people that really want Candace out, because Candace is a formidable opponent. So it's really fun if you're rooting against Candace to see people overtake her. You know, and I think if we think about Candace as a hero, if I was playing devil's advocate, what's the most heroic qualities about Candace is that I actually think she's very noble in some ways. Yeah, sure, she betrays one group, but it's because she had an original group. She leaves the Heroes tribe, but like they never really wanted her. In fact, they like JT was constantly spreading rumors about her that she was like, you know, out like was a bad egg. She like stands up for people she believes in. She's willing to go toe to toe against guys who are way bigger than her. You know, those are actually really heroic qualities. Like Candace could like totally be a hero in, I think, in certain people's eyes, but like certainly in the eyes of the editors, I don't think she really ever becomes a heroic person. So to kind of answer the question that we started off with, I think Candace isn't actually a hero, but I think she has a lot more heroic qualities than her detractors give her credit for.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective to have on Candace. I agree. I'm going to change my answer that like, no, she is not a hero. She's definitely not a hero at all. Although I really don't think that the mutiny is like all that villainous because she is flipping to people that she'd been working with like previously, right? Like if there had never been a swap and she mutinied, then like that would be crazy.
That would be wild. She just like,
flips to people she does not know because she's like, I cannot stand them. That's villain. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That's like clear.
And you know, we don't hear Candace really like talk very poorly of people in confessional. I feel like, you know,
yeah,
someone like, again, Parvati, you know, and she's so fun and charismatic. She's like, JT won. He's so stupid. You know, it's like she's like so like over the top and really kind of like playing it. Candace, again, is a little bit more demure. So she doesn't really, she doesn't feel like a mean girl even. I think she's just someone who kind of like makes a decision, stands by that. And if you hate her, oh, that's even more annoying because she's very firm in her decision making. But Gia, I think your perspective is kind of from the beginning as well that, yeah, she's not really a hero, but she's a hero in your heart.
Yes, I think it. All of the accomplishments we talked about Candace beforehand, like she's a doctor. She, I think, was great with in the height of the pandemic, spreading like correcting misinformation. Mm-hmm. In real life, Candace is probably one of the most heroic contestants we've ever gotten. But quite often the players that are villains in the game are not villains in real life. And I think Candace is a perfect example in that. Like in the show, she is a survivor villain, the best type of contestant that I think we can hope for. In everyday life, of course, she's a hero.
I agree. Very well said. Gia, were you following the Miss Survivor stuff that Candace was part of back in around her Blood versus Water days?
Yeah. I think.
Do you recall this?
I have heard of it. I know what you're talking about, but I did not follow it. No, I think that was before it was like really online.
Fully in. So I asked Nigel to listen to the interview that Candace had for Miss Survivor. And I thought maybe it'd be fun for you to kind of share your takes and perspective on it, Nigel, because you became a Survivor fan around Kageyan. So this is around that time, but like you wouldn't have been podcast level fan around Candace's.
Yeah, because I think that I was finding RHAP like at the very end of Kageyan, but I was not like yet a regular listener. So I hadn't heard of any of Candace's stuff. So I went and watched it. And for her talent portion, she wanted to pull a prank because she says that's like one of her greatest skills. So she's like, John is in the shower. I'm going to pour a bowl of ice water on him. Okay. So she's like, Rob, come with me. She's like holding the phone and Rob is just like doing commentary and it's the video of Candace and she like walks into the bathroom and she's like, hey, John. Yeah, my call with Rob, it got pushed back. It's going to be in a little bit. So I'm just in here to brush my teeth. And he's like, oh, OK, sounds good. And then she just like dumps the bowl of ice water over the shower curtain and you just hear him scream and he's like, Woodcock, and he just like pulls the curtain open just like his face and he's like, what is this? And she's like, I'm on the phone with Rob, and he just like runs out of the bathroom. And it was just not what I was expecting from Candace at all.
Yeah, I think it's anyone that's Candace is boring. It's like watch her Miss Survivor like interview. Like I think she has a lot of personality. She's just not like a really big person, but like that's not the same as not having a personality.
She's,
you know,
not like hamming up for the camera.
I
don't think it's a, you know, confessionals are often misleading. I don't think it has anything to do with like whether or not she is exciting as a person. If she wasn't exciting, she wouldn't be on the show. But I think she is not going to play herself up or down for the show. It's like what you see is what you get with her.
Yeah. And again, in a moment of decision making, she has chosen to screw over a man yet again.
Yes.
And that's Candace Cody.
Yes.
Exactly. So I'm so glad we were able to talk about Candace today. Nigel, did you have any final hot takes about Candace or things you wanted to mention?
I don't think I have any hot takes. I'm just like so interested that her greatest skill is pranking John. Like, what else does she do?
It's giving villain. She's having fun.
It's giving villain. Yeah. You're right. Gia, any closing thoughts?
Candace is amazing. I'm so glad that we got to talk about her in depth and really go into really like one of the least visible three timers of all time. And I think that there is a lot of great things about her, and I'm so glad we got to talk about a lot of them.
Well, you know, I'm so glad that you were able to come join us again. You know, if the Dreams podcast was your Cook Islands, today is your heroes versus villains. And even if you're not a big fan of them on TV, maybe next time you'll show up with your showmates. Who knows?
Oh my God. Like, just, you know, if it ever happens, you guys will know. You will know.
Well, Gia, do you have anything coming up that you'd like to share with the audience?
Oh my God. So I'm on the off season right now. Now that Survivor is in its hiatus until February. So I do want to have some fun things coming ahead once we hit February, Black History Month, the work. So to be determined on that end. I will say, definitely keep up with me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok for all of my reality TV shenanigans at Classically Gia, and also at the Survivor Diversity Campaign too. Please follow if you are not already. I'll be on Silent Podcast to do our weekly recaps of Survivor 46, and I hope to have some Inside Survivor articles out soon, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and also just as a PSA here, if you're not following Gia at least on one platform, you are doing a disservice to yourself and the rest of humanity. Not to sound dramatic, but Nigel's not on social media; he's taking a break from it. But Gia, every time if I see you, your posts, I always send him them because they're always so well tailored, smart, curated, and like if you really want like good Survivor discourse, whether it be I think in a like a social political lens, through like diversity means and stuff, or just like a fun meme, you do it all. And I just really want to make sure anyone who's listening to this knows that you're an all star at that type of stuff. So
thank you so much. My Twitter is one of my big accomplishments in my Survivor career. I'm very proud of it. But yes, thank you so much. And I have to say, Kevin, you are also a fantastic follow. So like, people need to get on that if they aren't. I assume they already are if they're listening to this episode. But if they aren't, then get on it.
Yes. Yeah, and just for the record, for those who want to know, my handle on Twitter is @AsianNarc, which is short for my Instagram handle @AsianNarcissist. And we have 5 episodes total for season 3 of You Thought You Knew. And this is our second one. Our next one will be with Mari Forth, where we will be answering the question, can Amanda Kimmel win? So that will be a really fun one to do. That will be released a week after this.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us. And we hope to see you next time to discuss Amanda Kimmel. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.